Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Heather Rosen. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you very much.
Heather is a franchise business consultant in the Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia area, working with a franchise operation known as FranNet, correct?
That's correct.
And she originally started out as a lawyer. She was interested in helping people and being part of FranNet, and as a lawyer, she was always helping people, achieving their business and personal goals. And in her bio, she says that most people would love to have their own business, but fear they might not be successful, and she helps them with the pros and cons of identifying franchised businesses. So I'll bet you know a lot about all the different franchises that are available around the country and around the area in particular.
Yeah, I mean, there are literally thousands of franchises out there, and I know about a lot of them, not every single one of them. I don't think there's anyone who could claim they know about every single one, but I do know about all of the business models out there, the types of businesses that are available for franchise.
So you actually acquired a franchise or started up a franchise so that you could help other people franchise.
I did.
What made you do that?
Well, I was a corporate lawyer. And I was working a lot of long hours, and then I went in-house at big law firms and was counseling lawyers. And when the economy turned, the hours got much, much longer again. And right. I was always very entrepreneurial anyway. When I was a lawyer, even fresh out of law school, I was developing my own client base and always running my own programs when I was working for the big firms in business development. And so I was talking to my father, actually, who followed a similar path to mine, a lawyer who eventually opened up some businesses. And he is with FranNet in Pennsylvania. And we were having a discussion on vacation, and he said, the person in Virginia who owns FranNet is looking to sell his business, and you might want to talk to him. I think that would be a really fun business for you.
And so you decided to try it out.
I did.
And how long have you been doing it now?
I'm in my third year of business.
And how's it going?
It's going great. It's interesting that when I counsel people who are going into business, I live this. I live the life of going into a business, a franchise, and I can talk to them about my personal experiences, about, you know, the first year you're building a business, you might make some money, but you're not going to expect to have a successful business necessarily in year one. And it builds. And so your third year in business, it's going very well. I found a really good business. So if you find a really good business by your third year, you should be doing quite well, and fortunately that's how it's going.
So how do you match people with the right business? What's the right business for a particular individual?
Well, we've been in business for 25 years, so FranNet's been, not me personally, and we have a very good process for talking to people about their goals, their personal goals, lifestyle. A lot of people who want to be an entrepreneur, they're interested in the entrepreneurial lifestyle. So their lifestyle goals, their financial goals, how much money do you need to make in year one, year two, year three? Of course, we talk about their skill set, and we talk to them about their budget and how much additional money they have for working capital. Because when you go into a business, even if it's a very successful business model, you know you're going to have to put some money into something,
marketing,
to get it started, to get it off the ground. And you might also have the cost of real estate and employees and products. Right. So we have to make sure that they have enough money to not just get the business off the ground, but to keep it going until the point where the business can cover its own expenses.
Now, in any franchise relationship, there's a franchisor, the person who owns the business model and who gets people to use it, and the franchisee. What makes a good franchisor?
Well, a good franchisor has experience as a franchisor. When businesses convert from a business into a franchise, they do things differently. The focus is on development of franchisees and screening franchisees so that they find the right people to run their business. So they either have to have that experience or they have to partner with somebody who does. There are consultants that do this. Sometimes when a business becomes a franchise, it comes under the umbrella of a successful franchise system. But the experience of operating as a franchisor is really key. It should have a good track record, of course. I mean, you're not going to invest money into a business that's not making money. So you have to look at the track record of the business. It's got to be a business that will listen to some extent to franchisees And everybody has sort of a different degree to which they feel like they need their voice to be heard. So when I meet with people who are really, really entrepreneurial, sometimes we'll look at younger businesses because they feel like they need to be part of the discussion all the time. And then other people want to be heard, but they're okay following the operations manual most of the time.
I was going to ask about that. I've dealt a lot with entrepreneurs over my career. That's the predominant portion of my client base. And the single greatest trait of an entrepreneur is the need for doing things their own way, which doesn't always jive with what franchising does, right?
That's right. That's right. If you're that kind of person, you need to go with a young franchise. And they've still got to know what they're doing. But an older franchise, a business that's been around for 30 or 40 years, they've done it already in several markets, and so
you're not gonna tell them how to do it.
No,
right?
No, and they might not. Your operating agreement might prevent you from doing something differently in your market.
What else does a good franchisor do for its franchisees?
Well, a franchisor should know what the licensing requirements are. Unfortunately, some of the people who have been referred to me are people who almost opened a franchise where they, or almost signed papers to open a franchise that they could have never actually opened in Virginia.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because of the licensing requirements.
Because of the licensing requirements. I mean, senior care is an area that a lot of states are regulating. They don't want people who are elderly to be taken advantage of by slick operators. So
they're, absolutely.
And so Virginia regulates them, Maryland regulates them. And there was a 2-year moratorium on senior care. And I met with somebody who was about to write a check to a business that felt like it didn't need to know that Virginia wasn't allowing these kinds of businesses to open.
Uh-oh. That doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, they need to know. They also need to know whether the business can even open in your state. Again, Maryland and Virginia are two states that separately regulate franchises in general. And there are businesses that might sound great. Maybe you can open them in D.C., but you can't open them in Virginia and or Maryland.
So your background as a lawyer really does help these people make sure that they're doing the right thing.
Well, I know what the questions are. I don't answer the questions because I'm not licensed to practice in Virginia.
Right.
But I know what some of these questions are, and my colleagues do too, frankly, even people who aren't lawyers. We spend a lot of time making sure that people are headed down the right path.
Okay.
And then if a franchise has real estate, if it's a retail location, you better have a really, really good retail support group, someone who's going to help you find the location that's going to attract your target customer. That's really important. And just overall, it should have a really good support team. If you're spending money, if you're going to pay a franchise fee and royalties to get into a business, they better be able to help you do a lot of things right. These should be things that if you try to figure out on your own, maybe you wouldn't do it correctly, and most certainly you would pay a lot of money to have it done. So essentially, the franchise fee and the royalties are you're paying for the expertise of people who hopefully know what they're doing.
Now, what are some of the key things that if I were looking for a franchise, what are the key tips that you can give me before I go out and buy my franchise?
I would say, first of all, take a step back. I do work with people all the time who think they have an idea for a business, but I really encourage people to take a step back. What we do is we build a business model. We talk about, what are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? What do you really not enjoy doing? A lot of people don't like managing employees. And if you're going into a food business, you got to be pretty good at managing employees, especially if you have people who, at an hourly wage, maybe they're not career people. So how do you manage people and motivate people who are in some of these businesses? What hours do you want to work? Again, sometimes food businesses, some people love them and some people don't like them. And there's really just no one size fits all for a franchise.
Okay.
And then, we talk about money. We talk about risk tolerance. We talk about, well, if you're looking at a younger business, you might be kind of a pioneer. I mean, it could be something that takes off. You could be extremely successful as the owner of all of the frozen yogurt businesses in Northern Virginia, but you realize that if you're the number five franchisee, you're going to have to, there's a little bit of a risk there. There's more of a risk than
if it doesn't work, then you're at risk of having paid a lot of upfront money potentially, right?
That's right. Versus going with a 30 or 40 year old business, a lot less risk. Now, the other side of that is with a younger business, there's going to be usually less opportunity for growth. So you might not have the ability to dominate the DC metro area in an older business. But again, the flip side of that is there's going to be a lot less risk. You're going to be able to talk to a lot more people in a good franchise who can tell you, yeah, the system works. And by the way, if you have any problems, feel free to pick up the phone and give me a call. I'm your neighbor.
Sure. What other tips? I mean, you got to have some money to open up a franchise, don't you?
You do. Going into a business that tends to produce the kind of income that we see in the DC metro area, you're going to look at investing at least $50,000 of your own money. And there are businesses where you can get a business off the ground for $50,000, including working capital, some low overhead businesses, some that you
service
can
even oriented businesses.
Service, that's right. And yeah, some that you can even start from a home office and maybe you expand into a bigger office someday.
I see.
You know, retail businesses, if you've got a space, if you've got some employees and some equipment, you're looking at starting at around $180,000. Retail businesses, you can usually get some sort of financing for if your credit's good and if you need the money, you have to put some of your own money into that. But
you might be able to leverage assets that you've already got, so you can borrow against them and put that money into the business. But it's a risk, right? It's always a risk.
It's a risk. It's a risk. And it's a question of, that's another thing you have to look at is, does it make sense, better sense for you personally to put more of your own assets into a business? You might lose the money. On the other hand, you're going to go into business without debt. That might be attractive. That might be a good move.
Now, working with a professional like you is always going to be important, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
How do they compensate you? Do they pay you on an hourly basis? I mean, what is your business model so that you can make the people who are looking to do franchising successful?
We're like executive recruiters. That's the model that we use. So the good franchises out there are usually willing to pay us a placement fee if we give them a strong candidate. We spend a lot of time. I spend 5 to 6 hours with somebody up front before I ever mention the name of a business. So by the time they actually get referred to a business, I have a pretty good idea that this person's going to be both financially qualified, but also their skill set's going to match, and they're looking for something that's going to be like this business. So
you're paid by the franchisor?
By the franchisor.
So there are certain franchises that you know really well because you've had good success in putting people into those franchises, and the franchisor trusts your judgment in terms of finding the right candidates.
Well, that's right. And my company, FranNet, spends a lot of time screening these businesses. So
don't put you with really bad franchisors. They put you with good franchisors,
right. We have a franchise review committee that does what we call validation, spending a lot of time on the phone with franchisees and asking them how they're doing. Are they making money? Would they do this again? What are some of the things that you don't like about the business? How's the training? And the head of our company is a banker, so she's looking through the financial disclosures in the franchise disclosure document. And we're talking to the management team. Having been in the business for 25 years, we know a lot of people in this industry, and people tend to go from business to business. And so if we hear of a franchise that is acquired by, let's say, Service Brands, that it's probably a good bet that franchise has a good chance of being successful, even if it's a newer company.
What questions would you ask, should people ask before they go out and buy a franchise?
Well, I guess first and foremost, because most people who go into a franchise are looking for money. I mean, they're going to have some other goals as well. But if they go into this, it's not a nonprofit. This is a for-profit situation. They want to know that they're going to make a certain amount of money. They might need income. They might need equity. They might need to know that they can sell this in 5 years or 10 years and have enough money for retirement. But they usually have some idea of what they need it to make. So one of the things about franchises is that they're very, very transparent. When you investigate a franchise, you have the ability to call up all of the people who own the franchise, including people who have sold or transferred the franchise in the past couple of years. And you can figure out from them how much money you're going to make in the first year, second year. If it's an older franchise, maybe 10 years, how well it does.
Okay. You know, we're running out of time. I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you, Heather. We're talking with Heather Rosen of FranNet. Heather, if somebody wants to hire you to do a franchise consultation, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm the FranNet representative for DC and Northern Virginia. The website is FranNet. It's FRANNET.com. I'm listed under /HROSEN, H Rosen. They can contact me there, and my email address is on the website as well.
Wonderful. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
And I'm glad you listened. Listen next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.